Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and we continue with a busy week filled with lots of video conferences. We heard today, that today being Wednesday, from head coach Joe Judge, a couple of players. We heard from Darius Slayton, James Bradberry, and Jabril Peppers. So just going to kind of go through some of what was said, break that down for you, and give you a few thoughts on some of the things said. So let's kick it off with Joe Judge, and he announced that starting a week from Friday, he's going to hold weekly intra-squad scrimmage games. And I really like this idea for a number of reasons. Number one, if you kind of look at the schedule, and granted, the schedule was not announced in full, but if you're thinking it's going to be like once a week with about 6 days in between, 7 days in between, it's going to align the Giants up with what would have been their preseason schedule, the last 3 weeks of their preseason schedule. So what this now allows him to do is obviously get the fullest possible look at every player at game speed. So let's kind of break down some of the advantages here of having an intra-squad scrimmage game. Number one, Judge and his staff, which has never before worked together, can work out game day operations. Who's going to be up in the press box? Who's going to be down on the field? Who's going to be responsible for watching to see, if there should be a timeout taken or if a challenge flag should be thrown. So they can sort all that out over the course of, a couple or three of how many intra-squad scrimmage games they plan. The second thing, obviously, is going to be an opportunity for the players to get live game action against each other, mind you, but in a controlled environment. So obviously both sides will be scripted. The tempo will be controlled. And when you have that kind of environment, the hope is that you will have less of a chance for anybody getting hurt. Now, the other thing this allows for the players, in addition to, the players at the bottom of the roster getting an opportunity to impress the coaching staff, an opportunity that really was taken away from them when there was no preseason games. But this also allows the players to, test out some of the equipment that maybe was created to help keep them safe from COVID. Because remember now, these guys are going to be lining up literally in each other's faces. And while the team itself kind of knows who, where everybody stands and everybody, what everybody's test results are, it's an opportunity to start getting used to some of the new equipment and getting comfortable with that should the players choose to wear that equipment. So that's another advantage. Another advantage we could talk about is that the intra-squad scrimmage will probably be held away from prying eyes. And what that means is it's not going to be on TV, either nationally or locally, I would think. And that gives Judge and his staff an advantage, because if there's a guy that they really like that maybe they're hoping to slip through to the practice squad, now they don't have to worry about, the 31 other NFL teams potentially seeing these guys and poaching them before the Giants have a chance to sign them to the practice squad. So that's another advantage. And then along those lines, preseason games are typically vanilla in nature, and that's by design, because obviously coaches don't want to tip their hand regarding what they plan to run and what they want their offenses and defenses to look like. Well, now, for a Giants team that is just now starting to get into running those plays after learning about them virtually, it's an opportunity to maybe throw caution to the wind and start working on some of that stuff ahead of their regular season opener at home against the Steelers. So lots of advantages I see, at any rate, for having intra-squad scrimmages. Now, Judge said the 21st would be the first one. No dates regarding any other ones, but training camp, if I'm not mistaken, runs through the first week of September. So figure there will probably be at least two more, I would think, you know, unless Judge, for whatever reason, decides to not go down that route. But I do know this, over the course of 14 practices, teams will be allowed, I believe it's 10 padded practices. And as they enter into phase three of the training camp, they are not allowed to have more than three practices in a row with pads on. So it's every third practice. And then they are capped at, I believe it's 10. So, it'll be interesting to see how Judge works out the schedule, but certainly, you know, a forward step in the right direction as far as getting this team ready, getting them to play to the speed he's looking for, and really, you know, getting to see who amongst these younger players might have a future with this team. Folks, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynor. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, more from the Wednesday media sessions. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traynor here with you. And just some thoughts about some of the things that head coach Joe Judge and some of the players had to say during Wednesday's media sessions. And unfortunately, I don't have clips for you on this show. Didn't get a chance to cut them up before I had to sit down and record this. So I do apologize. But with the assistant coaches on tap for Thursday and Friday, I will certainly look to cut some of that audio up and bring that to you. All right. In this segment, I want to talk about a topic that came up, and that is cornerback. And for those who don't know, the Giants attempted to sign Ross Cockrell to a contract. That deal fell through earlier in the week. And the Giants instead ended up signing an undrafted free agent who was initially with the Eagles by the name of Prince Smith. He played his college ball at New Hampshire. So one of the topics, one of the questions that came up with Judge on Wednesday was, you know, do you feel you have enough with cornerbacks? You know, do you feel like you have to add a veteran? And Judge basically said he didn't feel, you know, like adding a veteran corner is a priority. And that, when that quote was tweeted out by myself, as well as others who were on the call, a lot of fans were like, what is he talking about? The Giants have nothing. They have garbage at cornerback, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the thing, folks. First of all, James Bradbury, a young veteran, is going to lead that group. He's, I would say, barring injury, he is locked in to be one of the starters. Now, you have a bunch of younger guys at the cornerback's position. You have Julian Love. You have Corey Ballantyne. Darnay Holmes, Chris Williamson. And of those guys, obviously Ballantyne, Julian Love, Grant Haley, who we have to include. He wasn't a draft pick, but he's going on his third year. Those are all guys that had experience last year. And they struggled. Let's call it for what it is. They struggled. They had their issues. They didn't seem to make any progress from week one to week 17. And the Giants this year, like I said, they brought in Williamson and Holmes in the draft. And they also have a couple of undrafted free agents, one of whom we spotlighted on Giants Country, Christian Angulo, who is a big cornerback, a big physical cornerback, a guy who we have picked as our sleeper pick to watch this summer. Anyway, getting back to the cornerbacks, a lot of people still want a Logan Ryan. They want a Dre Kirkpatrick. They want a veteran. The problem with that is you bring a guy in like that, you probably are going to have to pay big bucks to keep him for, you know, And you're going to have to probably spread out like a signing bonus so that your cap doesn't get blown out. And I know what you're thinking. The Giants got all kinds of cap space after Nate Solder opted out. Well, yes, they do. But you want to carry over a lot of that cap space into 2021 because the salary cap is going to drop. So here's the thing. If you can find a guy who is willing to come in on a one-year deal and kind of be like a seat warmer, just to allow you to get these younger kids ready to go, that's an option, absolutely. But the other thing is if you're Joe Judge, you look at the tape last year and you say to yourself, okay, how much of the struggles of these young guys was a result of A, the coaching that they received, and B, how they were deployed? And this is an argument that I have made numerous times. It is one that, you know, when I talk to analysts and people who study film far more intensely than I do, they agree with me. Last year, the coaching left a lot to be desired of this young group. These guys were making the same mistakes late in the season as they were in the beginning of the season. There was confusion, and you just sat there and you watched this unfold and you said to yourself, what are they learning in the classroom? And it just didn't show up like you would hope on the field. But the bigger problem with this group last year was in what they were asked to do, how they were deployed. I have often believed that the former coaching staff was more married to the idea of making the scheme work rather than adjusting the scheme to fit the talent. And as any good coach knows, you can't do that. You can't go in with a rigid scheme and say, okay, you know what? Player A might not be able to do A, B, C, and D, but he can do A, B, and C, and I'll worry about how I'm going to figure out to cover for D and E. You just can't do that. You have to be flexible in how you adjust the scheme around the talent you have. And I just don't think that was the case last year. And if you want a good example of that, look no further than Corey Ballantyne, who was used in the slot. He wasn't a slot cornerback. He struggled greatly in that position. And, you know, they're lucky that they didn't destroy that kid's confidence. So now with Patrick Graham on board as the defensive coordinator, they are now creating different sub-packages and they're adjusting to the scheme, which sometimes, you know, I listen to Graham when I go back and I listen to what he had to say, and I wonder if he has a set scheme in mind. In other words, he's going to be so multiple that maybe what he ran down in Miami, he might not be able to run up here. So you can't really say that he's going to run a 3-4 or 4-3. It's going to be a combination. And then the other point that I keep making that I think is huge is that the Giants brought in to be their defensive backs coach, Jerome Henderson. This is a guy who played the position in the NFL. And I've said this before, I've asked players this before, when you have a coach who has played at your position, who understands the little nuances, it makes a huge difference. So I, for one, am looking forward to seeing what Jerome Henderson can get out of these kids. I think there's a lot of talent there, and with the proper guidance, the proper coaching, being put in the right situations as opposed to, you know, the coaches jamming square pegs into round holes, I think that's going to make a big difference for this young group of cornerbacks. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Trainis. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, wrap it up with some additional thoughts, so stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Trainer here with you, segment 3. And in this segment, want to focus on Jabril Peppers, the Giants' projected strong safety. And a big topic of conversation with Peppers has been whether or not he would be a potential fit to play cornerback. And this initially originated from his trainer, Brian Walker of the DB Academy, who cross-trained Peppers this past offseason to do some agility drills and movements and whatnot associated with playing cornerback. Now, let's kind of go into that a little bit. First off, when Peppers was asked about that, and I'm the one who actually asked those questions of him, his answer was standard. You know, I just want to play wherever the coaches need me, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we've heard all that. But when we talk about Peppers potentially playing cornerback, it's important to understand a couple of things. Number one, there are different things that a cornerback does. And if you're thinking in terms of playing Peppers like James Bradbury, for example, the way James Bradbury plays the position, no, that's not going to happen. But are there some things that Peppers can do that maybe kind of cross over into that cornerback realm? Absolutely. And I did an article for Giants Country, and also Gene Clemens did a breakdown on Jabril Peppers and whether or not he would be a fit for cornerback. First off, I have to say that last year there were more than just a few dozen snaps in which Jabril Peppers played slot and outside cornerback. So there were instances of him doing that. And I think this year there is the potential for maybe see that increase depending on the opponent and the game plan and whatnot. But let me go real quick to Coach Gene Clemens's article. I just want to point out a couple of things. And again, you can find this on Giants Country under the Big Blue Plus section. Okay. So one of the first things is, Peppers can play with the tight end. He can cover a tight end and, stay with these guys. Now, where Peppers sometimes runs into problems is he's a little on the smallish side, you know, not an ideal height that you want for a cornerback. And, you know, as such, he's got a little smaller wingspan. And one of the things you like to see what is from a cornerback, and this is a big reason why teams like bigger cornerbacks, is they have a wider wingspan, which allows them to reach up and disrupt a ball coming in. If you have short arms and you can't reach up against a receiver who is like 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and so forth, chances are when you have the jump ball, that receiver is going to beat you for that jump ball. So that's one of the things that, you know, can work against them. Now, one of the things that Peppers does well, and I think would benefit him in terms of playing cornerback, he is a physical player. He is not afraid to get in a guy's face and get physical and bump him off a route. And there were so many times last year when, in watching the Giants defense, you just saw receivers coming off the line or off the slot, for example, who had free releases and they just weren't bumped. And I'd sit there and I'd say, why aren't they at least trying to jam these guys and disrupt the timing, you know, knock them off the route a little bit? Peppers, that's something that he does really well. He uses his hands well and, just really, you know, can get in your, he can be pesky. He can get in your face and really, disrupt you. What's interesting about Peppers is that at Michigan, he actually did a variety of things for the school. And with his tremendous physicality and whatnot, he was just, you know, a guy who was all over, did all kinds of things. But as we see with guys who are coming out of the out of college, who basically were a jack of all trades, so to speak, once they get to the NFL, they tend to specialize in, you know, one or two things. It's not like, you know, you have a guy who becomes a jack of all trades. You don't want that. You want a guy who's going to specialize and do maybe, you know, like two or three things really well, as opposed to doing five or six things, you know, okay. So if you're talking about playing Peppers in a traditional cornerback role, like a Charles Woodson role, for example, that would not be his best position. And in his article, Coach Gene Clemens happens to agree with this. In fact, I'll read you a clip of what he said. He writes, quote, "That being said, cornerback would not be his best position. The best use of his talent would be to use him as a permanent nickel. He has the physicality to play like a linebacker, but the athleticism to cover in the slot, end quote. So call it a hunch, but, you know, I know coming into the offseason, one of the question marks I kept talking about on the Giants defense is, what do they have as far as the nickel cornerback spot goes? I felt like they were lacking there. And I just have a feeling, you know, I can't really say they upgraded that position. I mean, I know they added Darnay Holmes, who hasn't really played the position much. Chris Williamson is certainly a candidate down the line, but, you know, Williamson, I think, might be a little on the raw side. Holmes, I think they're going to try him there, but I believe at UCLA, he was mostly a perimeter guy. So what I could see the Giants doing in the slot is having a committee there. And I'll tell you what, the thought of Peppers in the slot intrigues me. You know, when you talk about three safety set, which is something I think the Giants are going to look to do, now you bring in Julian Love to pair up with Xavier McKinney, and you have yourself a really good three safety combination there. Guys who are interchangeable, who you can match up depending on, you know, who the opponent is and just to get the favorable matchups and whatnot. So I really think that's going to be the approach the Giants will take. Again, Peppers is not moving the cornerback full time. I don't think anybody really suggested that would be the case, but certainly he can contribute in some regards in the slot. He's done it before, and I suspect he'll do it again. All right, Giant fans, that will do it for today's show. I want to thank you for listening. And make sure you tune in to tomorrow's show. I'm going to have Dan Shanka of Our Lads on the program. And we're going to kind of take a break from Giants. We're going to talk more about the college football programs that are canceling their fall, or I should say postponing their fall seasons, and just the overall effect that's going to have when it comes to scouting and the NFL teams, you know, picking their next group of talent and all that stuff. So you won't want to miss that show. And I thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.